show today, we have CSI's very own Keith Munson talking about the top three things credit unions need to do to prepare for the CECL 2023 deadline. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have CSI's very own Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Keith Munson. Keith, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks, Mr. Lawson.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And today we are talking about top three things credit unions need to do to prepare for the CECL 2023 deadline. And it's 2019, but 2023 is going to be here before we know it. So we better start thinking about this and thinking about it quick, right?
Most definitely. Most definitely. And that's it's interesting you say the top three things that credit unions need to do to prepare for CECL, because studies out there that show that 50% of credit unions and financial institutions haven't even started preparing.
Wow.
For CECL rules and regulations.
Yeah,
so, and I say rules and regulations, we got to be mindful that CECL is a FASB accounting standard, mm-hmm. not a rule and regulation.
And we were talking before the recording about this, kind of likens a bit. There's some similarities with EMV that occurred a few years ago, and you know, it was like 5 years out, it was 3 years out, then it was a year out, and then it was 6 months, and people are like, oh no, you know, we got to do something. So this is kind of the same instance a little bit, but it's never too early to get started preparing for this type of stuff. And I think it's crucial that credit unions kind of get the ball rolling at least.
You're exactly right, Mr. Lawson. They do. They should start getting the ball rolling. And matter of fact, CUNA and their regulator is going to be asking what their plan is in regards to implementing. Even though FASB came out and said that this is going to be delayed for smaller institutions and credit unions and not-for-profits,
right.
Those larger institutions, those SEC filers, are going to have to file in 2020. But mm-hmm. now just kicking that can down the road, that proverbial can, if you will, to 2023, a lot of institutions, credit unions, are saying, well, you know, we can just kind of wait. Kurt Long, mm-hmm. the chief economist for the National Federal Credit Union,
yeah.
said, you know, we're going to continue to support to delay or even have credit unions exempt. So,
wow.
you know, the credit unions from their regulator perspective, they're taking a look that say, hey, we don't need to do this. So a lot of credit unions are saying, well, if we've got our national association saying we're going to continue to say we're going to support us being exempt, credit unions are kind of sitting in the background saying, well, should we really do it,
yeah,
or not?
Right.
Well, to your point, the regulators are coming in during their exams. They're saying, where do you currently stand? Where are you at in implementing CECL? What mm-hmm. does your CECL model look like?
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't want credit unions to be caught off guard.
Precisely.
And just to not say, I don't know. I mean, where are we today? We have no plan. Well, the best thing that they can do, and you know, that from a top three things, one is to get a project team together. One, educate the credit union, educate their board and what the CECL requirements are going to mandate. It's a new accounting rule. You know, the ALLL, the allowance that we are familiar with today, that's mm-hmm. going to go by the wayside. That accounting standard has been changed, hasn't been changed for 40 years.
Oh my
gosh.
So
we've been in this same model for a long period
wow.
of time. This is going to be changed. So change management's huge. Education of the board, continue to notify your legislators in Washington, D.C., you know, we're still trying to get it delayed or maybe even repealed, but FASB is holding to their guns. They're very supportive, I think. They really want to see this new implementation in regards to the accounting standard. So the first thing is educate board,
okay.
Implement a project team, take a look at what data you have,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of touched on the second thing, your data.
Okay.
Where's your data housed? You know, so where do you have it in your core provider? Do you have your loss history currently on your systems? Or in regards to TDRs or total debt restructures, a lot of credit unions house total debt restructures outside of their core system. So the loss histories are going to be in multiple places
oh, wow.
throughout the organization. So you're going to have to be very mindful where mm-hmm. this data is housed.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so yeah, this project management, and then where you house your information, you're going to have to then put that in. The regulators have been very vocal. The regulators have said that, you know, smaller institutions, credit unions alike, can utilize their existing spreadsheets. So you can use an Excel spreadsheet, for example.
Okay. That sounds easy enough.
The OCC came out and said, well, the loss provision that banks and credit unions are setting aside currently today, this could increase by as great as 50%. That's huge to the capital requirement for institutions and credit unions. And so from a credit union standpoint, you need to be aware of your data. Mm-hmm. And what is it exactly going to do? And, you know, we've been in good times lately.
Indeed.
And what I mean by that, we haven't experienced the losses as we did in 2007 to 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use this data, where is your historical data? You need to understand where it resides, but you have to have at least a five-year model validation, if you will.
Okay.
And so historical information for at least 5 years. So where is that information housed? Well, a lot of credit unions, we haven't had that many losses, if any, in the last 5 years. So your loss analysis may be zero to very, you know, little.
Right. What does that mean for credit? What does that mean for credit unions, though? If they have a history like that, what can they do?
Yeah, that's great. And so what can they do is take that loss information, and you really need to take a look at the current models that are allowed under the CECL. Methodology, and you need to apply that, and you need to run it parallel to your ALLL now.
Okay.
And so, one, even though, you know, we've got individuals in Washington, D.C. that's trying to get it repealed or delayed, and you know, right now it's delayed till 2023, mm-hmm. but really to take a proactive approach, credit unions really need to see what their loss numbers are going to be in comparison to their current ALLL. And mm-hmm. so that third thing that we're talking about is, it would really be beneficial to get a project team, find out where your loss information is housed, and then three, take that loss information and put it into a CECL model,
okay,
including the current economic variables, but then run that parallel to your current ALLL or your reserve that you're reserving today, and mm-hmm. see what that's going to do. Because if we don't get this repealed, it's only, like you say, it's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Just like EMV, it's going to be, well, it's 3 years out.
Right.
Well, it's right around the corner, then it's here tomorrow.
Right, and then you're in panic mode.
You're exactly right. And we don't want our board to be in a panic mode
at all. No doubt.
And we want the board to be very aware of our bottom line. And so, you know, what is the CECL number really going to do? And that's what we really want to... My apologies.
That's okay.
Silence. So.
That's Cecil calling.
Yeah, exactly. But you're exactly right. And so we don't want the board to be caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, make sure you're running your numbers parallel to your current reserve and see if it's going to be more or less, because that's going to be imperative.
Mm-hmm.
Because under FASB accounting standards, we only get a one-time hit. So we have to recognize that comes right out of our back pockets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so is that going to be a huge reserve that we have to account for, or is it going to be very minimal? And with our loss history, to your point earlier, with the loss history being you know, zero or to very little,
right,
it might not be that huge of a situation for
right.
us.
Right. This is a question totally from left field here, but with the looming recession, the rumored recession that keeps cropping up every now and then, would that have any play into this? Because when that recession rolls around, there could be that number could go up. So I don't know. Again, a question from total left field. So.
Well, Mr. Lawson, that's a very astute question, and yes, because under the current CECL accounting model that has been implemented, it states that you have to consider current economic conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that could mean unemployment rates, that could be housing prices,
mm-hmm.
Commercial real estate prices. You're exactly right. If we have a recession and we kind of revert back to the days of 2007 to 2010 and people get laid off,
mm-hmm.
You know, that could affect
those numbers are going to change.
One,
right.
Loss rate.
Yep.
You're exactly right. And
big
so
time.
That could, in essence, could show have a negative impact in regards to your CECL model.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to take a look at the current economic conditions or market variables under the new CECL. Okay. So that was a very astute question, and you're exactly right. So right now we're kind of in good times.
Sure.
Well, this isn't really going to affect me much, but we need to have a prudent risk appetite, mm-hmm. using Mr. Bush's word there. But
love it.
We have a prudent risk appetite so that our board is aware of how it's going to impact our bottom line.
Yeah. The reason why I say that is, I mean, you got to have, like you say, you have got to take all scenarios into account. I mean, hopefully we don't have a recession, but everything, as we all know, the economy is cyclical. So it's, you know, you got to have a downturn at some point, but I hope it doesn't happen. But it's just kind of like, hey, we got to prepare for all scenarios with this, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And so, one, they say we need to have, you know, a 5-year historical loss, and you have to apply that to your total portfolio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, and you break that portfolio out into segments. So you're going to have your consumer loans, you're going to have your real estate, and you can apply those historical losses can be different in regards to your consumer portfolio versus your residential portfolio, mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. example. But you then have to apply those economic variables to that as well, too. And so each one of your portfolios can fluctuate based on those economic conditions.
Completely, completely. What's number three? I see number two, Pinehurst, behind you. What's number three?
Oh, number three here is it's a hole-in-one. I had a hole-in-one on March 1 of 2012.
Congratulations.
And so the country club gave me a framed one.
Whoa,
so.
Very nice. Very cool. All right. And so what's the third item? What's the third thing that Creightons need to be doing, speaking of number three?
Well, and I kind of just squeezed into that one, but the first one is a project team, and then two is loan gathering, you know, and then three is running parallel.
Okay.
And so
gotcha.
You need to take your model and run it parallel. So those would be the three things that I would suggest for credit unions to start doing today. And I know that there's movement in Washington, D.C. to get it repealed or, you know, even push back even further from the legislators. But credit unions really need to, you know, start hopping on board, you know, take a proactive approach, get a project team together, find out where your information is housed. It could be on your core provider, or you could even have it in some Excel spreadsheets in regards to non-accrual loans or your total debt restructuring, should you have those types of loans. But you need to take a look at your loss information and where it's currently housed. So that's two. And then three is take that information and incorporate it, extrapolate your loss information, and then incorporate it into the current CECL model that you wish.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say manipulate it, I mean you're going to have to break out. Manipulate's a bad word, but
analyze.
But you want to put it into, you know, your consumer loan portfolio, your real estate portfolio, your commercial portfolio, and then apply those models and then run it parallel to your current reserve.
Okay.
And so if you do those three things, then you're going to be able to keep your board educated. But then when the regulators come in, then you're going to be able to also inform the regulators, you know, hey, we've got a plan. You know, we're not going to be caught out in left field, you know, or caught with our pants down, as the saying goes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can at least say that. And I'm a advocate. There's three audiences to what we always do in a credit union. One, senior management.
Right.
Okay. Two, board.
Mm-hmm.
And then three, regulators.
Okay.
And so any actions that we do, we have to be aware to be very responsive to those three audiences that we have.
Indeed.
So educate senior management, take a proactive approach, gather your information, where is it housed, and then three, run that parallel.
Yeah, I think proactive is the operative word there for sure. And so how do we get credit unions to act on it? Because you said this could be repealed, it could be pushed back even further, which makes credit unions go, you know, should I even do anything at all? But how do you make credit unions, I don't know, I mean, I'm trying to think of a nice way to put it, but how do you get them to act on this type of stuff? Because again, like you said, we don't want to be caught off guard here and then be in panic mode at the last minute. So how do we get credit unions to act here? At least get into some sort of planning mode. So like you said, when the regulators come around, hey, we have a plan for this in place. So we're ready to go. And that looks really, really good to them. So how do we get credit unions to take that first step?
That is the million-dollar question, because as I mentioned earlier, a recent study came out, and I wish I had the study in front of me, but memory serves me correctly, they said 50% of financial institutions, including credit unions, have not even started implementing CECL. And so to your point, how do we get them engaged to start looking at the CECL information? And the July 17 vote that FASB had did not help our cause, because when they voted on July 17th to delay this rule to 2023, so that's, you know, 3.5 years from today, a lot of institutions are just going to say, I got plenty of time. The best advice I can say is don't wait till tomorrow. Start early. And one of the regulatory bodies are helping us here. When the regulators come into the credit unions, they're specifically asking during safety and soundness exams, hey, where do you currently stand in regards to your CECL implementation? And we just don't want to have senior management say, look, we have no idea. It's been delayed till 2023. We're just not looking at it. Not a response we want our senior management at our credit unions responding to the regulators. We want them to be responsive. Even if you just take step one, have a project team that you can start educating your board and your senior leadership there at the credit union would be a helpful start. But two, I would like to see a lot of credit unions get from step one to at least step two. So one, they've got the project team, but then start identifying where your data is in regards to your loss information. You need to start talking, if credit unions, you know, a lot of smaller credit unions don't have the human resource or the capital resource to have a technology department in-house. And so what they do is they have an external third-party core provider. And whoever that core provider is, they need to be in communication with that core provider to find out where their information is housed. So one, like you say, how do we get them started? That July 17th vote for FASB really didn't help our cause to have a proactive approach, because credit unions are now going to say we've got plenty of time. But I would really like to see them at least having a project team, get that implemented, and then two, starting discussions with your core provider, with your project team, identifying where your loss information is internally. And if we can have them to step two, that's a positive step forward in getting credit unions involved. And then just bringing more awareness to the credit unions that, hey, this is coming. FASB's not budging. FASB is, they're holding steadfast to this being the answer to the downturn in the economy in 2007 and 2010, very much like our European Union banks at Europe. One, they held very much to the Basel. You say Basel, I say Basel, but, you know, it's... But it's very much to their capital requirements there in regards to adequately capitalized institutions here in the United States. So you're seeing similar movements. So it's coming.
It's
inevitable.
For sure.
I kind of liken it
to the science fair project that you had 6 months to do in school, and then all of a sudden it was the day before the science fair project and you haven't done anything. Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I kind of liken it to that.
Yeah, my mom always says, your procrastination is not my emergency.
There you go. That's a good saying. And there's a good bit by a comedian, Brian Regan, who did the whole science fair project. That's where I got that from. But anyway, we digress. So where can credit unions get help to prepare? Is it obviously call you guys, or what can they do to get the ball rolling if they choose to do so at this time?
You bet. You know, CSI, we would love to help in regards to, you know, the CECL management at the credit unions. There is models out there. But, you know, quite honestly, the project team that we talked about, the regulators are also saying that, you know, they're very supportive that credit unions can utilize their own methodology, meaning they can use their own Excel spreadsheets that they have, their databases within their institutions. And so, but you don't know until you get started and until you identify your data. And so if they're looking, you know, I also heard a similar study, but somebody mentioned, you know, the regulator saying, one, that you can use your own databases and your own spreadsheets that you have within your credit union. But, you know, some are saying it's going to be very beneficial to go to an independent third party or get that third party vendor out there model, because they include the economic variable conditions and stuff along those lines. And so, one, credit unions can go. One, take a look at webinars. There's free webinars. There's free seminars out there that they can listen to online, podcasts, for example, in regards to how to get started. Individuals that sell third-party vendor management, you know, the Fed Reporter, for example, you know, they provide call reports for institutions. They also have a model out there that they smaller institutions could utilize. You've got SageWorks. You've got you know, other types of models out there that that banks and credit unions can rely upon.
Cool. Very cool. All right. Good stuff, Keith. Anything else to wrap up here? Any final words of wisdom here?
Well, Mr. Lawson, I just want to thank you. I appreciate you inviting me onto your show here. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to speak about the CECL rules and regulations, or I should say accounting standard. But, you know, just advising credit unions, don't wait until 2023.
Yeah.
I would just advise, you know, to get an early start on it, take a proactive approach, not saying they've got to implement CECL.
Right.
But start taking a look at the CECL model in comparison to their current reserves, and what's it going to do to their bottom lines, and then educate your senior management and your board so you at least know how it's going to affect you.
Sounds good. All right, great message to end on, Keith. Thank you so much. Everybody, CSI's Keith Monson talking about the CECL deadline coming up 2023. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.